perfect and acceptable will of God. As we continue to massage these thoughts about mind renewal, and because we spend so real little time talking about how we get that done, it's necessary for us to peel a little off at a time. It's not the kind of thing where you can say, well, this is what you ought to do. You ought to get your mind straight. And yeah, I ought to get it straight. Yeah, get it straight. Get it straight. Yeah, I'm going to get it straight. And then you get it straight. It doesn't work that way. It, because we are creatures of habits, and because we've had the habit of not renewing our minds for a long, 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 long time, because we become comfortable with allowing ourselves the privilege, we think, of thinking as we choose, we're having to gradually teach us and get us to believe first that it's possible for me to think in a different way and have control. Secondarily, and that I'm able, I have the willpower to do it. I will do it. I'm not going to just talk about doing it, but I'm going to actually execute this. And that's where the transformation takes place. That's the metamorphosis that takes place that Paul talks about in the transforming, changing, like the caterpillar becoming something else. We are to become what God intended for us to become, but that has to happen in our minds. If your mind does not change, then you have not changed. And we spend an awful lot of time not changing our minds, but changing our behavior just enough to make us think our minds have changed. But in reality, the mind hadn't changed. We just modified our behavior and learned how to do so. So of all the abilities that God has given man, perhaps the greatest of these is our ability to imagine. Our ability to imagine is probably the greatest gift God gave us. There is no other creature that God made that has the ability to imagine. He didn't make elephants with the ability to imagine. He didn't make monkeys with the ability. He didn't make dogs. He didn't make the only creature that he made that has the ability to imagine is man. With imagination, one can climb any mountain with your imagination. Yeah, you can see it, see yourself doing it. You can swim in the ocean with your imagination. You can defeat any enemy. Even those that you can't see, you can defeat in your imagination. You can become anything. And I do mean anything with your imagination. And so when we were young, we primarily used our imagination while we played and entertained ourselves. If you could just go back with me, I know it's been a long time, but if you could just for some of you, it's been a long time, but if you could just go back with me, because it's been a minute for me. But that was a time when, growing up as an only child, I had imaginary characters that I would play with. I don't know if anybody else did that, but I did. I had an imaginary friend that I would talk to and play with and entertain myself. What were you doing? I could see him in my imagination. And I was able to carry that a long while. But sometimes we were frightened because of our imagination. You see something, some shape that's always in your room, but it's amazing how at night that shape looks like it's something else. At night, some of you know what I'm talking about, right? You know, you look over there and it's a shadow on it and the light hit it just right and imagination takes over. And you say, Mama, Mama, somebody in my room. And they come busting in there and turn on the light. It was just their jacket hanging up over there. But imagination. Imagination got it. And even though it wasn't real, it felt real. It seemed real. In fact, you responded like it was real because of imagination. I want to use as a thought this morning in our study, what are you imagining? What are you imagining? What are you imagining? Listen to Paul. Listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now watch this. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The point that Paul is making right now is don't use your imagination or allow your imagination to run in the wrong direction. He is not saying not to use imagination because that is one of the greatest gifts we have. But you must control your imagination and make sure that you are imagining and in creating in your imagination the things that bring you closer to God rather than imagining things that take you further from God. You need to know the difference. When you're imagining things that are taking you away from the kingdom, versus imagining things that foster the kingdom. So as we grow older, there is a tendency to use our imagination for negative or evil purposes. And imagination, just imagining just simply means the ability to see and create scenes in your mind that aren't there, but you are able to see them as though they are there. Now, we all do this all the time. It's nothing new for us to do. We do it without thinking about it. I want to suggest to you this morning that we have to learn how to make imagination work for us rather than against us. You see, as we grow older, but before we grow older, all of us, no matter what you're doing, no matter who you are, what you're doing, you wouldn't be able to do what you're doing had you not imagined yourself doing that. Brother Henderson served as a fireman for a long time and then became fire chief. Eventually became a fire chief. Not having a conversation about this, but I would venture to say that long before he became a fire chief, or even maybe even a fireman, he had to imagine what it would be like if I were able to become a fireman. And it, when it got on the fire department in Lubbock, he, I believe, and if I'm wrong, help me, Chief, I believe he started imagining what it might be like for him to be chief. He wasn't there, but he started imagining it. And after a while, imagination became reality. Am I right about it? We have a lot of educated people in this building, a lot of educators in this building. A lot of people like Sister Latrice Cole. Sister Cole went into education, but before she became a teacher, I would venture to say that she had to imagine what it would be like if I could get on as a teacher, long before she did that. And then when she became a teacher, I believe, help me if I'm wrong, she started imagining herself being a principal one day. Now, the educational gap between being a teacher and being a principal is kind of big. But because she could see it and dream it in her imagination, it eventually became a reality. Amen. Am I right about it? Okay. Now, we could do this all day long because I believe wherever we are where we are as a result of imagination. You know, when I first started preaching, I wasn't imagining being a preacher at that time, okay? But after God brought me into the ministry, I started to imagine what kind of preacher I might could become when I would listen to folk like Cornelius Crenshaw, when I would listen to folk like S.T.W. Gibbs, when I would listen to folk like David, and I would just imagine while I'm sitting in the pew, not even preaching, boy, maybe one day I might be able. I might be able to preach like that. Man, wouldn't that be something? And lo and behold, the Lord blessed me with the ability that equaled what I dreamt. But as we get older, there's a tendency to use our imagination for negative or evil purposes. See, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continuously. Wait a minute. Now, this is right before the flood. And God looks into the hearts of the masses of the people, and he concludes, everything they imagine is evil. They spend all their time imagining evil. They dream up evil. They plan evil. And let me help you with something. It's not that we don't know how to use our imagination. Some folk are very good at it, and they're good at using it for the wrong purpose. We can come up with some great ideas on how to do wrong. Great ideas. You know, if I do it like this, yeah, and we're just daydreaming. Maybe if I text her this, she'll get the message. And to keep it on the down low, we can do it like this and just happen to be at the same place at the same time. And see, now we are creatively putting things together to do wrong. I ain't getting no amens on this. Boy, I might need to preach on this one. Yeah, creatively thinking about how to do wrong. We work that thing out to the nth degree in the details. Okay, all right, I'm going to leave that alone. I ain't getting no amens right now, okay. But see, listen to Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, and this is after the flood, he said, I will not curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. The imagination of the heart is evil from his youth. So neither will I again smite any more everything living as I've done. God said, you know what? Ain't no need of destroying the earth like that no more, because it ain't going to change man's heart. Ain't no need of punishing the animals like that again and messing the earth over like that again, because it's not going to change man's hearts. Because God said, from youth, our hearts are full of evil imagination. Can anybody say amen? You know, we've been imagining wrong for a long time. And is there any wonder why we have such a hard time staying in the straight and narrow when we become so creative at doing wrong? Creative. Man, we done got so good at doing wrong and imagining. We got ways on our phones now. Know we're wrong, but we got our imagination up. Let me see how I can get a quick fix from pornography on my phone by doing it like this. Every imagination is evil. And so we have to train ourselves then to use this great power as God intended for it to be used. See, you don't just get better in your imagination accidentally. You don't just get better with your imagination because you come here every now and then. You can come here every week and not work on your imagination, because it's not a part of the discipline that you put yourself through in your ever, ever increasing way of becoming all that God intended for you to be. That's not on the list for you. So you got to train yourself. You have to want to get your imagination together. Now listen, in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, it's a great chapter. Don't have to read all of it, but let me give you the backdrop. David is on his way out as king. But before he goes, he wants to make sure that his son has all of the necessary materials to build the house for God that God said he couldn't do. But he gave him the blueprint, and so David has all the material, all the gold, all the silver, all the precious stones, all of the metals, all the iron, everything, all the special wood that is necessary for this house to be built. David has brought it together. And David even went into his special storehouse and brought all of the extra gold that he had back there just to make sure that God's house was going to be top notch. Then the people of God, they too started giving for this effort. So they started giving their silver and their gold and all the things they had accumulated. So when they got ready to build the temple for the first time, man, they had all of the supply they needed. to build a special house for God, and it was going to be unlike anything that had ever been built before. So David now is talking to the people. And when he's talking to him, he said, "Now I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness." And you need to know, God rejoices when you make an effort to do right. I mean, he just rejoices when you are trying to do right. Our problem is we don't try hard enough. Sin takes us out far too easily. Far too easily. It ought to be harder than that, brother, to get you to fall. All a woman got to do is give you a compliment and you gone. It ought to be harder than that. It ought to be harder than that. Sisters, it ought to be harder than that. He pays you a compliment and tell you how good you look and you gone. It ought to be harder than that. "Well, I ain't heard that in a long time." Well, tell yourself you look good then. He says, "But as for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things that I just mentioned before, all the gold and silver. And now I have seen with joy thy people, and even the people which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, or Jacob, our fathers." Watch this. "Keep this," he says, "forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the people, in the of the heart of your people, and prepare their heart unto thee." What are you saying? I want you to allow the people to be able to conjure up the image of what has transpired here over and over and over again. I want them to be able to remember and bring this image up of the unified people of God giving to God in a way like they've never done before, and may they use their imagination, God, to always call it up, because this is an act that deserves to be called up time and time again. Isn't it interesting how we tend to call up and replay all the negative things that take place in our lives versus calling up and replaying the great things that go on in our lives? Isn't that amazing how we do that? See, we forget all of the good words that people say to us, and we hang on to the one person that says the one negative thing, and we play that over and over and over and over again, but we forget all that other stuff that's been said to us. Isn't it amazing how we do that? And then David talking to his son. You see, because God not only knows what we think, he also knows what we imagine. Shut up. God knows what you are imagining. Now, isn't that a thought? He knows what you are creatively thinking about in your heart. Whatever it is. 1 Chronicles 28:9. He's talking, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father?" Know your daddy's God. Boy, on Father's Day, I can park right here for a minute. Every daddy ought to be able to tell his son, "Son, you need to know my God like I know him. You need to know my God like I know him. You need to be in love with him and serve him like I serve him. You need to know my God." And every daddy ought to be able to say, "Know my God," when he's talking to his children. Solomon passing it on. David's passing on to his son Solomon. He says, know thou the God of thy father, know my God, and serve him. You ought to serve him. Everybody, you don't just need to know him, but you need to serve him. You need to bow down your will to him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Why? For the Lord searcheth all of our hearts. The Lord searcheth all of our hearts and understandeth, he continues to be aware of, all the imaginations of the thoughts. He was right there with you, watching you come up with a scheme to do wrong. Right there, trying to protect your interests and imagining how to do it. He's right there watching you figure out how you gonna do whatever you're doing with wrong imagination. You see, he understandeth all the imaginations of your thoughts, all of them. But watch this, if thou seek him, he'll be found of you. See, some people don't have a relationship with God because they ain't looking for him. You see, God is not hard to find when you're looking. He ain't hard to find when you're looking for him. But without faith, it is impossible for you to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that do what? You got to be looking for him. If you're not looking for him, you won't find him. He says, if you seek him, he'll be found. If you're looking for God, he's not hard to find. But if you forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Act like you don't know him in your imagination. And he'll cut you off forever. Now, we must learn to imagine ourselves victorious in Christ Jesus. You've done well to imagine yourself not being able to do what God says. You're single, man or woman. You're still in the marrying age. And you've already imagined yourself not being able to live a faithful life single. You've already imagined yourself needing some outside company every now and then. You've already imagined it. But when was the last time that you imagine yourself living victorious in Christ? When was the last time you imagined yourself having a great husband, having a great wife, having a great marriage? When was that time? When was the last time you imagined yourself having peace with the brethren? When was the last time you imagined that? You got to learn to imagine ourselves victorious, winning, not just getting by, but winning in Christ, living in Christ, thriving in Christ. You got to be able to see yourself doing everything that God told you that you can do and see it being done before you know how you're going to do it. Am I helping anybody? Now, my text. Listen. Casting down the stronghold is only part of what it takes to be faithful. If all you do is tear the ideas down, but don't replace them with something better, then guess what's going to happen? That stuff going to pop right back up on you again. If you clear the land and don't build something better, weeds are going to grow up. If you work hard at, I can't think this way. I'm gonna catch that thought. You got it. But you never learn how to implant thoughts that you want to catch, then all you're going to do is clear your mind for the enemy to attack you. You have to learn how to catch the bad and plant the good. Am I helping you? So, while you're casting down the imagination, you need to be now planting the imaginations that you want to become in Christ Jesus. We sing a song. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Lord, I want to be more faithful in my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart. Well, in order for you to do that, you got to start imagining yourself being everything that God said you can be. And when you, or as you start creatively imagining loving the folk that you know don't like you that much. Now, that might just be your imagination, too. You know, there was a song that the Temptation put out. Each day at my window, I watch her as she passes by and say to myself, I'm such a lucky guy to have a girl like this. It's truly a dream come true. Out of all the fellows in the world, she belongs to you. But it was just my imagination. Write it away. Okay, I thought that'll get y'all. That woke everybody up. Now y'all come on back. Let me teach you. Listen. When it comes, give me Luke 16, Brother Lynch. Luke 16, 1 through 9. Luke chapter 16. I want you to start at verse number 1.
And he said unto his disciples.
Now listen. Listen. Jesus is teaching his disciples. He said unto his disciples, what did he say?
There was a certain rich man which had a steward.
Okay, rich man got a steward, somebody that works for the rich man. Read.
And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods.
The steward is being accused, and by the way, rightfully so. It wasn't a false accusation. He was guilty and now charged with wasting his master's stuff. Read.
And he called him and said unto
him. Master called him in. What did he say?
How is it that
How
I
in the
hear
world is it
of thee
that I hear this about you? Read.
Give an account of that stewardship.
You need to give an account of your stewardship. Read.
But thou mayest be no longer steward.
I'm about to strip you of your role just as soon as they give me the record and reconcile the books. Read.
Then the steward said within himself.
Whoa. Watch this, church. Don't miss this. The steward said where?
Within himself.
He started thinking. He started using his imagination. He's thinking now. I'm caught, busted, her. About to lose my job. Because when they reconcile the books, I'm guilty. And I know it. Now what am I going to do? Read.
What shall I do?
What am I going to do? Read.
For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship.
He's about, I can see it in my mind.
I cannot do
it. I'm going to have a meeting with my boss. My master going to say to me, you have robbed me of my money and you are kicked out on the street and the word's going to get out to everybody that I'm a crook. What am I going to do before the meeting comes up? Read.
I cannot dig.
Now, wait a minute. Now, if I know I'm guilty, so if it comes to pass, I ain't going to be able to work on the construction site digging up holes. I ain't going to be able to do that. I ain't been in no sun. I've been in the office all this time, and I ain't nowhere in the world I'm going out there and start digging up holes. So I can't dig. Read.
To beg?
Wait a minute. To beg?
I'm ashamed.
Now, I can't panhandle and stand like the blind man at the gate of beautiful and beg and ask everybody to give me some when they come back. Just give me some, and they all know I've been in the master's house. They ain't going to give me no money. Read.
I am resolved what to do.
Wait a minute. Watch his imagination. Yeah. I resolve. Listen. This is what I'm going to do. Read.
When I am put out of the stewardship.
Because I'm going to be put out. I can already see it. I'm going to be put out. I'm going to be put out of the stewardship. So I am thinking creatively about what in the world I'm going to do. Read.
They may receive me into their house.
So that the folk that know me will receive me into the house. Read.
So he called every one of his lords.
Okay, now he's hustling. Imagination. He's calling folk.
And said unto them, the first.
What did he say? What did he say?
How much owest thou unto my lord?
How much you owe my lord?
And he said,
yeah.
100 measures of oil.
100 measures of oil, read.
And he said unto him,
yeah.
Take thy bill.
Uh-huh.
Sit down quickly.
Quickly!
And write 50.
And quickly do this. We ain't got all day. Let me hurry up and make this transaction. Quickly do it. Read.
Then said he to another.
He said, what did he say?
And how much owest thou?
How much you owe?
And he said, 100 measures of wheat.
Yeah, read.
And he said unto him, take thy bill,
yeah.
And write 40.
Write 40, so read.
And the Lord commended the unjust.
Wait a minute. And the Lord did what?
Commended the unjust steward.
And the Lord commended the unjust steward. Read.
Because he had done wisely.
Uh-huh. Read.
For the children of this world are, in their generations, wiser than the children of light.
Now, y'all, do y'all see the story? Now, listen, I want you to see the message, same verses. Say, now, here's a surprise, verse 8. This is the message. The master praised the crooked manager. And why? Because he knew how to look after himself. Streetwise people are smarter in this regard than the law-abiding citizens. They are on constant alert, looking for angles, surviving by their wits. I want you to be smart in the same way,
yeah,
but for what is right. See, we are creative when it comes to doing wrong, but when the last time you've been creative and figuring out how to do right?
Jeez, brother.
We got it down pat. When it comes to covering ourselves for wrong, but how creative are you in trying to figure out how to do it right? I want you to be smart in the same way, but for what is right. Using every adversity to stimulate you to creative survival. To concentrate your attention on the bare essentials so you'll live, really live, and not complacently just get by on good behavior. Listen, don't miss this. There's a whole lot of you that think all I need to do is hang around here and be halfway right. But we never, ever become what God intended for us to become, because our goal is not to get better. Our goal is to maintain. And so we spend our time maintaining. Well, I'm faithful. Well, you know, I go to church. You know, I give some money. But we don't creatively think about how can I get better at what I am being and doing and becoming in Christ Jesus. We don't use the same creativeness that got us the positions that we're in for ourselves, for the Lord. See, if we was using the creativeness that got us where we are in life for the Lord, where would the church be? Where would we be if we were that creative for the Lord as we are for saving ourselves and providing for ourselves? Now, I want you to look at Luke 12, Brother Lynch, 16. Luke 12, 12th chapter of Luke, verse 16. What does the Bible say? Luke 12, 16.
And he spake a parable unto them,
now
saying.
Now listen to this parable. Now, you just saw in the other one, a man imagined himself into survival. But he was wrong. But he used his creativeness and saved his skin. He dreamt that. I mean, he didn't go to school for that. He figured that out. What am I going to do? Now, let's see another man. Read.
The grounds of a certain man.
A certain what man?
Rich man.
Thank you. There's a ground of a certain rich man. Read.
Brought forth plentifully.
Now listen. Here's a man that got everything he needs right now. He's already rich. It really matters not, as far as his richness goes, whether or not he has a good year, because he's already rich. Rare is it that we get to a point where it doesn't matter what we do this year, because we got it covered anyway. Rare. Here's a man who was already rich. Rich. But not only was he rich, but he was in line to be richer. Read.
And he thought within himself.
He thought. Now his ground brought forth plentifully. Read. What did he say? Listen to his inner. Listen to him looking at his crop and looking at how much it is. He's already rich. Now he's imagining. Let's see, what am I going to do? And I got more stuff. I got more stuff than I can store. Read.
What shall I do?
What in the world am I going
to
do? Read.
Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit.
I ain't got no room, Henry. I got a crop this year that my barns won't hold. Read.
And he said, this will I do.
Listen, I know what to do.
I will pull down my barns.
I'm going to tear down these barns.
And build greater.
And you know, I'm going to put some barns up with air conditioning in them. That's going to have everything that you can ever imagine in the barns, okay? It's going to be complete with everything. You know, good cranes going up and down. I'm going to build some great things. Read.
And there will I bestow all my
food. I'm going to take all of this bounty that I've gotten And then read.
And I will say to my soul,
what am I going to say?
Soul, thou
soul.
Hast much good.
Look.
Laid up for many years.
Good. Laid up. Take your ease. Read.
Take thy ease. Yes. Eat. Drink.
Yes. All you need to do is eat.
Drink.
Ring.
And be merry.
And have a good time. Yeah. Now, wait a minute. Now, here's a man who has everything, but he ain't thinking about nobody but himself. It's amazing how sometimes we so blessed that we can't even see folk that are struggling. So blessed that all we can think about is getting more blessing. And the Lord is blessing us, and we don't even entertain the idea of being a blessing to anybody.
Yes.
We don't even, that thought don't even come in on the radar. Because it's all about us. I got mine. They have to get theirs, you know, because I got mine. I worked hard and got mine. Read.
But God said
what?
Thou fool. This night.
Tonight.
Thy soul shall be required.
You got to give your soul to me.
Then. Who shall those things be?
And all that crop that you got, who gonna get it? Because you ain't going to get it. Because I'm calling you home. Tonight. Tonight. Now, listen. Listen. That's why in Romans 12, don't be conformed to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to start learning how to imagine yourself living a productive life for Christ, being effective in the kingdom, being useful. It's time out for all this talent in this building to come in and sit down like you can't contribute to the kingdom's work here. You got something to do. You just need to start thinking about how you going to do it. Every joint is supposed to supply that is lacking. You got some stuff that you ought to be putting into the body, but you ain't thinking about the body like that. You just want to show up, eat this good preaching, and go home. And talk about what a day we had. And you hadn't thought not one iota about how you can be a blessing to the kingdom. You ain't even imagining that. How the kingdom can use you. How you can help here. We got more stuff to do than we got manpower to do it. There are folk doing two or three things at a time around here because you won't imagine how to help. We got this crusade coming up in just a week. And we got just one brother committed to driving folk back and forth to the crusade. Now that's a shame. Thank God he's there, but it ought not be like that. Somebody else ought to imagine themselves carrying some of the load. And then, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and pure, lovely. If there's any good report, if there's any virtue, if it's praiseworthy, when we start imagining that, when we gonna start thinking about that, when do we lay up in the middle of the night and imagine what the church gonna be like when we got 1,000 members and 2 services? You gotta think on these things. What are you imagining? What are you imagining? Is your imagination being used in a spiritual way or in a carnal way? Do you spend more time imagining how you're going to work things out for your best interest in every area of your life except how to be a better servant for the Lord? Then I want to suggest to you that that's not why God gave you your imagination. He didn't give it to you to figure out how to make your life better. He gave it to you to figure out how to make his kingdom better. And it's your imagination. It's just what you think about. What you're dreaming of in the quietness of your day. What do you lay up on the pillow before you go to sleep and just let plan in your mind? You know, it's going to be nice when we are able and I'm able to do this and you start imagining. And guess what? See, I hadn't taught this yet, but see, whatever you think about long enough becomes reality in your present circumstance. Good or bad. If you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win but think you can't, it's a cinch that you won't. If you think you're outclassed, you are. You have to really believe in yourself. If you ever expect to reach the prize. Life battles don't always go to the strong or the faster man. But in the end, the man that wins is the man who thinks he can. Do you think you can live a faithful life? Do you think you can get sin out of your life? Do you think you can forgive somebody that did you wrong? Do you think that you can love your enemy? Do you think that you can be a blessing to the kingdom? Well, if you don't think it, I know you won't do it. So if you're here this morning and the Spirit of God's convicted in an area of your life that you needed to be convicted in, I pray that right now you're using your sanctified imagination to start moving you to where you know you ought to be. Time out for just getting by. Time out for just being an image. How are you doing, blessed and highly favored? Time out for just talking a good game. It's time for us to spend some quiet, quality time imagining what's it going to be like when I become all that God intended for me to be. What is it going to be like? What is it going to be like? And if you can't imagine it, then that means you got a whole lot of work to do. I promise you, you're imagining evil stuff all the time. Don't take much effort to you to think about the evil stuff that you can do. Then that says something about your heart. See, that God was saying about the folk, that their imagination is evil continuously. Is that you? Was he talking about you? Would that describe who you are today? Then if it is, you need to repent. You need to acknowledge, put a stake in the ground and say, I'm not leaving here like that. And you acknowledge you've sinned. You repented. You don't know how you're going to clean up your mind, but you've decided with the help of the Lord and with my imagination and my effort, I'm going to do better. And you start that today. You're not a member of the body of Christ, we invite you to become a part of God's spiritual family. You come by hearing the good news of how he died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the scripture. If you're willing to repent, confess him as Lord, and go down the water for baptism to rise and walk in newness of life, and he washes your sins away, and you can start the process of getting your mind right now. Start imagining the new life, the new life. For as any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation where old things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. Come on here. If you need to come, why don't you come right now while we stand and sing? Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come?
All my trials and all my.
God bless you for coming.
Jesus
can bring you hope
through all
your trials.